Blog Talk Radio.
All right. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, March the 2nd. Wow, February went by fast. Friday, March the 2nd of 2018. And the time is 4 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying. Sure. Today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue to talk about what I will be sharing starting on Monday. On Monday, March the 5th, we start our new series, and we're going to be revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying photon injection. We want to talk about the true nature, spiritual disposition of having this photon or this energy that is directly piped into or downloaded into our body or mass. And this, my brothers and sisters, should result in some type of a soundness or stillness. So today we want to talk about that. Today we want to talk about the fact that stillness is realness. We want to talk about something that is very, very different from the things that you've probably heard or that have probably been shared. It's a truth that's very difficult to wrap our brain around. Because you guys know there's different layers and different versions of truth. And we want to talk about truth at its highest level. So truth at its highest level is a non-vibratory state. It is a state of stillness. Stillness is realness. Now that is very, very difficult to understand because most of us have always been hustling and bustling and moving and doing and being and running from here to there. It's very, very hard for most people to settle down. And what's important when we talk about settling down is not necessarily a physical as more of a mental or spiritual. So today, again, as a metaphysician, I'm talking about stillness of the spirit or of the mind because we have a restless spirit. And we want to really look at what that means first. Now, a restless spirit simply means a unidentified diakonia or destiny. So when I say or when I talk about having a restless, you know, the old folks used to talk about that a lot, and I used to hear that growing up as a kid, and I never really understood what they meant by having a restless spirit. So when we talk about a restless spirit, we're talking about a ruling disposition that is without a particular calming demeanor, meaning that it is a spirit that is devoid of peace. It is a spirit that is devoid of its inheritance. A restless spirit is a spirit that has been robbed. Now, when we talk about a spirit that has been robbed, remember we're talking about a ruling disposition that is uneasy. There is this uneasiness in your spirit. And the reason that we have this uneasiness in our spirit is because we're not moving in confidence. It is a lack of confidence that results in an uneasy spirit. The lack of confidence comes from a lack of clarity. This lack of clarity, again, gives us a lack of confidence. Lack of confidence gives us a restless spirit. Now, remember, stillness is realness. So a person who has a mental disposition like mine, especially that one that doesn't turn off from uneasiness, not from spiritual busyness or effectiveness. So we have to break down that so that way you can understand that a restless spirit is very, very different from a spiritual effective spirit. And so there is this misnomer when we kind of confuse a restless spirit, and a spiritual effective spirit. So if you have an effective, that means that your spirit, your ruling disposition, the thing that animates your body, the breath of God. Now remember, a spirit is the animating principle of the body. Let me say that again. A spirit is the animating principle of the body. Let me say that again. A spirit is an animating principle of the body. The spirit must be still in order for you to be real. Let me say that one more time. Your spirit must be still in order for you to be real. Let me say that again. Your spirit must be still in order for you to be real. Busy being or living your life that you cannot be the light. We are so busy living our own individual life, which is this restless spirit, that we don't have time to be God's light. God is in us. He gave us this light. He wants to manifest. He wants this light to be the light of the world. But we're too busy for God. Trust me, just a message for myself, I just invited you guys along to listen. Understanding. That's a plethora of scriptures. There's a bunch of science. We're going to get into that during the series that starts on Monday. So, again, the cost of the series, regular cost is $99, early registration. Tomorrow's the last day of the early registration. It's $50 for members that's not part of the life management team. Everybody's part of the life management system. This series is $25. The last series was free for the life management members. This series is $25 for anybody that wants to join this series because we're going to break down this whole ability to exercise this quantum leap into the photon realm or into photon physics. So we want to break down the physics of how photons bring about an enlightenment. So we have always been taught that enlightenment had to do with the gaining of knowledge, instead of the enlightenment has to do with the removal of busyness. So enlightenment means that your light cannot shine because your life is not being lived by design. Your light cannot shine because your life is not being lived by design. So for everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have to live your life by design. Now, this is extremely important because right now you're not, or you probably wouldn't be listening to the show. You wouldn't be a part of the life management system. You wouldn't be doing, or you would be doing, less stuff, and you will be being more spiritually effective. So it's very important because there's such a fine line that it gets blurred all the time. And people tell me all the time, well, Brother Will, you know, you don't understand, brother, I'm effective. Look at my money, you know, look at my marriage, you know, look at the mate, and I'm like, ooh. And it's interesting for the people who are happy in the marriage because they're getting everything that they want, but their mate is miserable because the mate is not being met halfway. They're not getting the things that they want, not even that they want, that they need it. So it should be a 50-50. That's what relationships are all about. But there's a lot of relationships that are not 50-50. And so when we talk about being still, because being still is real. And so restless, or having a restless spirit, there's a bunch of stories in the Bible. I like the story of Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis. And I'm not going to read it, but you can read it in your spare time. In Genesis chapter 25, it talks about that the older brother Esau, again, he's tired from hunting, and he just wants something to eat. And so he sells his birthright to his brother for a pot of stew, for a pot of soup. So he was so hungry that he wanted temporary physical comfort instead of long-term spiritual inheritance. We all do the same thing. We sell our long-term spiritual inheritance for temporary physical comfort. Restlessness comes from temporary physical discomfort. Because we think that this physical discomfort is permanent. And so we get restless. We want a solution now. And our desire for the solution means that we are willing to do anything because we just want to get rid of this feeling that we have of physically being uncomfortable. So in chapter 25, 26, 27 in the book of Genesis, it goes through this whole story about Esau and Jacob and how one robs the other because the other basically could not control his restless spirit. If you have a restless spirit, what's going to happen is you are going to sell your birthright. In fact, if I'm going to bet the man, you probably already sold it. You probably did the same thing that I did. I sold mine, but I had to go and buy it back. You may have to do the same thing. See, I sold my birthright for money. Sold my birthright for women, for cars, for houses. See, when it comes to understanding how the universe works, the universe is in reverse. As it says in the book of Isaiah, they took the truth and they turned it upside down. And so when you have been called by God, that means that you, are going to suffer a physical discomfort by the enemy. And so when we talk about understanding how you have dominion, because the scripture says that God has given us dominion, and the King James, this word is often mistranslated. And it's very important because if we don't understand that a lot of the words inside of the King James Bible are a mistranslation of the actual original Aramaic or Chaldean words. And so it's very important, my brothers and sisters, that we really, really look into the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Chaldean, until we get the deeper meaning, not only of this word, but all of the words inside of the Bible. Because when we talk about restlessness, restlessness comes from a lack of knowing your identity in Christ. And we know that Christ is the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to establish and to run and to exercise the duties of that office, which leads you to the place and to the person. And so the universe is waiting for you to get to a point where you start to recognize that this restless spirit. Now, remember, when we talk about a restless spirit, it's a wandering spirit. But it's not, it's one, but it's not W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, wonder, W-A-N. A wonder, W-O-N, is W-U-N, wanderlust. Now, this is a word that's not really talked about very much, but I need you to understand because this is the foundation of a restless spirit. Now, remember, the opposite is what we want. But I need to make sure that you identify because most people, again, this is not one of those messages that, you know, one of those feel-good messages where you do a lot of, you know, shouting and turning over chairs and whatever because most people, you know, they're like, hey, Doc, I'm doing great, brother. Everything is going great on this end. So this message does not apply. One of the words that stands out in my life path, number 633. So if anybody that's, 33s or 6s anywhere in your life path number, you might want to pay attention to this aspect of it. If you really, really look closely, especially if you have your Dear Kinnear report already, you're going to see this word in there. And this is the dark side of compassion. This is a dark side of love. This is the dark side. So if you're not operating in a rested or still spirit, you're going to operate in a wanderlust spirit. And most people, again, don't really understand because when we talk about wanderlust, we talk about wandering around in a urgent desire or a lustful state. So wanderlust is different from wandering. So you wandering is that mean that you are living your life without your identity. It's what I've been doing all my life. But wanderlust is different than just walking around without purpose. Wanderlust is talked about the cares of this world, the pride of life, and the lust of this flesh. So wanderlust has to do with the flesh overriding the spirit. It is a chronic restless. It's a strong desire to satisfy the lust of the flesh, wanderlust. Now, wanderlust and wandering are, they like twin sisters. So when we talk about wanderlust, it's this wandering. But the wandering is promoted by a strong desire. But wandering, W-A-N versus W-U-N, is aimless, meaning that you ain't got no damn purpose, no destiny, no dear Kenita. Now, if you guys remember, I went through a 6-day job because I started off as wandering, and then I got desperate, and my flesh took over, and then it went to wanderlust. So everybody that has the inability, or most people that do not have the ability to exercise against self-control, suffers from a lack of stillness. Stillness, again, is realness. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. If it's still, it is real. Now, the opposite of stillness is what we see, which is vibration and running around and, you know, kicking against the prick. Now, the problem is people think that stillness means you don't do nothing. That's the total opposite of stillness. In fact, stillness means that you're going so fast that just like a wheel on a bicycle, when the wheel starts turning really, really fast, the spokes inside of the bike disappear. Why? Because the speed, the vibratory, when Yahushua went up on the Mount of Olives, he transfigured himself. The atoms inside of his body were vibrating at such a high speed, he disappeared. Stillness means that you are operating in such harmony with your purpose that effort no longer exists. That's stillness. Let me say that again. Stillness is when you are operating in such a state that efforts disappear. Let me say that again. Stillness, this is realness, is when you're operating in such a effective state, a spiritual effective state, that effort, your physical effort, disappears. Let me say that again. That means that you can go all day every day. You mean you don't need a sabbatical. You don't do like all of these preachers that I hear today that they got to go on vacation because the flock, the people, their job, their destiny, whatever they're doing is just burning them out. Their energy has been depleted. They're tired. See, the reason that you're tired is because you're not operating inside your purpose. Now, the word wander or wander, it means to walk. It means to turn about. It has to do with the mind turning or roaming. It means roaming from place to place without a fixed plan. It means roaming or rambling. Wonder. See, wandering, wanderlust, this restless spirit, you're roaming around from place to place, from job to job, from car to car, from relationship to relationship, from person to person. Why? Because well, there is no vision. People cast off restraint, meaning that you don't have the ability to exercise self-control because there is no fixed plan. Now, I talk about this out of my book, Diligence, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. It's really simple. In fact, it is so simple that it's extremely hard. The word diligence means the ability to make a decision to be, to do, and to have. It means to concentrate, to focus, and to commit every ounce of your energy to one thing. That destroys all of this restlessness. See, until you are committed, there is a hesitancy to draw back. There is always spiritual ineffectiveness. Somebody should write this down. Spiritual ineffectiveness is the lack of spiritual effectiveness. Spiritual effectiveness is the lack of confidence. Lack of confidence is a lack of clarity. Lack of clarity is a lack of understanding your true God-given destiny. Now, let me make sure you understand because this is so important that you understand that everything that you do in life is the result and should be the result of your destiny or your purpose that comes from the person, place or thing that we call Yahushua or Jesus the Christ. So anything that's done outside of that spiritual understanding is going to be lost. Now, let me make sure you understand what I just said. Because, you know, as a purpose revealer, it's all I do is I tell people, find purpose. Purpose, my brothers and sisters, is the thing that establishes clarity. Clarity is the thing that establishes confidence. Without purpose, abuse is inevitable. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Because let's say, for example, now remember, stillness is realness. Without stillness, there is no such thing as realness. And so everybody has this restless spirit instead of spiritual effectiveness. Without no spiritual effectiveness, then we, you, all of us are in some serious, serious trouble. So what is the trouble? The trouble is that we are ineffective. That ineffectiveness makes us tired. And once we get tired, then our vibration, our spiritual acumen, our ability to tap into the spirit realm decreases. And the insanity of the world, again, starts to take over our holistic vibration. Now, let me make sure that you understand, because it is this insanity. It is this worldliness. It is all the cares, the pride of life, lust of the flesh, the cares of this world. This, again, we get involved in it. That produces a restless spirit. So someone who is spiritually effective is someone who is identified, someone who has a clear understanding, and someone who is in tune with their God-given design. Inspiration is the result of clarity of purpose. The word inspiration simply means in spirit. So in order for you to be in the spirit, this is the true power of understanding how to walk in the spirit. The only way to walk in the spirit is for you to understand yourself, because you are spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests itself through a body. So if we don't understand that we are spirit and we go looking for a spirit, then that's how we get in trouble. So a spirit is understanding that you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. So your spiritual makeup is all of the characteristics and attributes that I point out inside of your life optimization chart and inside of your diakonia. Diakonia is a Greek word that simply means service or ministry. It is the thing that you put on this place on this earth to do. Without a clear, I'm not talking about fuzzy, hazy, wavy state, clear. Now remember, you are a wave form energy that has to solidify into a particle, a single standing column. Without that, that means that you will continue or you will maintain a wave state, meaning that you don't have clarity. So from a physics perspective, a lack of clarity means that you are in a wave state. That means that what you see in the world can't manifest, or what you see in your brain can't manifest in your hands. So instead of being wealthy, we have poverty, because, again, we don't know. We don't see a very clear plan. Now, remember, the word wander, what does it mean? The word wander means that we are ineffective in our mind. It means that we are aimless. It means that we are slow. It means that we have pointless motions and movements. It means that we move from place to place. It means that we do not have a fixed plan. It means that we are roaming, we are rambling, we are wandering. It means that we are wanton. It means that we are walking around from place to place. It means that the mind has not attached to the affections of the heart, wandering. So a restless spirit is a spirit that is wandering around. The reason that it is wandering and traveling aimlessly from place to place is it has no itinerary. Since you don't have an itinerary, you are engaged in pointless activities. You are engaged in pointless motion. And so most of the people, a lot of the people I know, they are engaged in pointless activities. They are engaged in wanton and aimless activities because of a lack of crystal clear clarity. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Let me say that again. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Let me say that one more time. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And so a restless spirit is a spirit that has no purpose. It is a spirit that is aimling around, wondering what to do. So now we must talk about spiritual effectiveness. So spiritual effectiveness is the ability to understand that we all have this ability to move in a direction that allows us to be successful. And the way that we do that is for us to engage in activities that allows us to be successful. Now, what activities should we engage in? Well, the activities that we should be engaged in are inside of our Dear Community Report. So anytime I step outside of my activities, which is as a Master Teacher 33, my name in Hebrew means Bethesda. Bethesda means builder of the temple. That means everything I do should help build your temple. So anytime I stop building temples, I step outside of my God-given design, and I start charming and harming people. I start destroying temples. So I'm either doing one of the two. So I'm either harming you or I'm building you up. So the enemy's job is to make sure that I tear you down and I don't build you up. So every day for me, I focus on one thing. What do I need to say to elevate someone's consciousness? I ask myself one question. Is what I'm doing helping or is what I'm doing harming? And so it's real simple. So if I cannot help you, then I'm harming you. So my only goal in life is to try to figure out a way for me to help. I already know how to harm. Anybody can do that. The blind man can do that. And so your job is to find your purpose, and every day you want to elevate your mind to the place where you are exercising your purpose. That's it. Spiritual effectiveness is the ability to identify all of the details with clarity. That clarity automatically gives you confidence. Now, let me make sure you understand, because every time I talk to someone who lacks confidence, I know that they don't have purpose. You cannot have purpose and lack confidence. That dog don't hunt. Let me say it again. You cannot. It's impossible. It is spiritually impossible to have clarity of purpose and lack confidence in any area, especially in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So clarity brings stillness. Stillness comes from removing what I call journey seeking. Stillness comes from exercising or answering. Now, when you ask a question, you are embarking upon a quest. If you look at the word question, it has the word quest in it. So in order for you to establish spiritual effectiveness that removes, again, busyness, so that way you can get to stillness. In order for you to be still, what you're doing must be real. And let me say that again. This is, Father, touch the minds of your people. Right now, you're void of realness. There is an absence of, now remember, it can't be fake. Your spirit knows. You may not know, but your spirit knows. So in order for it to be real, or in order for it to be still, it must be real. So in order for you, my brother, in order for you, my sister, in order for you to be still, you must be real. Since the universe knows that you're not real because you haven't identified with the true authentic self, the universe knows you're not being real. So you must be real. So I see somebody who suffers from restlessness that I used to have, their mind, their brain doesn't turn off. I know that they're not being real. They have not attached to the true authentic self yet. So in order for you to be still, you must be real. If you are not real, regardless of how many scriptures you read, regardless of how much you go to church, regardless of how many people run back to business lay hands on you, regardless of how many chairs you turn over, regardless of how much you shout and speak in tongues, regardless of how many devils and demons you cast out, your brain won't turn off. You will aimlessly wander through life because you have no clarity. So in order for you to be still, remember, be still and know. So the only way that you're going to learn or know anything is to be still. And the only way for you to be still is to be real. And the only way for you to be real is to have clarity. And the only way for you to have clarity is to identify your destiny or your purpose. And the only way for you to identify your destiny or your purpose is for you to understand the letters, the attributes, and the characteristics of God that is placed inside of your DNA. And the only way to understand the attributes and the characteristics of God that's placed inside of your DNA is to go through the life optimization chart and your Dear Canary report and read for yourself what God says about you instead of what man has been lying about you. So you can believe what somebody else says, or you can look up and you can read what God says. Now, let me make sure you understand, because many of us, you know, we really have good hearts. We really have, but the enemy knows that. He gonna make sure that he keeps you on the treadmill of life. So he's not interested in you. He sends people into your life to keep you busy. Because, again, we associate busyness with effectiveness, and it's not. Busyness and effectiveness is not the same thing. A lot of people are busy, but they're not effective. So there's a huge difference between busyness and effectiveness. Busyness, again, leaves you empty. Busyness leaves you confused. Busyness leaves you tired. Busyness, most importantly, leaves you broke. And so effectiveness is the opposite of busyness. Effectiveness replaces, no matter how much energy you put into it, you get more out. You get more out than you put in. So effectiveness is the key that unlocks the puzzle or the gate. You can always tell when you are being effective and versus being busy. Because if you are being effective, no matter how much amount of time or energy you spend out, you never get tired in that domain. So let me make sure you understand, because I'm doing this, doing the show that I'm doing right now, and we're sitting up here and we're doing the show, and I'm sharing with you these tools and these tools to help you be effective. And we're talking about stillness is realness. So I took my daughter to college today. That was from where I went. You guys know, I saw somebody yesterday. That's why the show was really choppy and all that stuff, because I was in a whole other city and blah, blah, blah. So that was like 6 hours. Then I drove back home 6 hours and then jumped in the car and then went on an 8-hour fishing trip that was in Port Aransas, which is from my house, which was another 3 hours. Then got on a ship 2 hours out into the middle of the ocean somewhere, spent 8 hours on the ship, 2 hours back, then just drove home another 3 hours. I haven't slept in maybe two and a half, almost 3 days. As soon as I got home at 3:45, and I'm doing a show at 4. And I feel great. Now, when I stop being spiritually effective, then I start to feel my physical tiredness. As long as I'm spiritually attached mentally, I'm not talking about nothing physical. I'm not talking about doing anything physical. This is not physical. I'm not talking about physical. I'm not talking about going anywhere, doing anything. It's interesting because spiritual effectiveness, being still, is simply being in love. So if I'm doing things that I love, it doesn't pull on my chi or my prana or my energy. Now, people tell me that. Now you have to go back to the show that I did on if you want something and you don't have it, then you don't want it. Let me say that again. So you want $1 million, but you don't have $1 million. That means you don't want $1 million. Not really. So they say, okay, Doc, if I don't want $1 million, what do I want? Well, you want the benefits of $1 million. Okay. You said that's semantics, Doc. I still want $1 million. No, you want the benefits of $1 million. Okay, how do I get the benefits of being a millionaire without having $1 million? Well, I have to do certain things. I have to be perceived as a millionaire. So I must carry myself like a millionaire in order for me to be treated. I have to walk, talk, breathe, eat, sleep, drink, walk. So if I want to be treated like Michael Jordan, then I need to do the same thing. I need to become Michael Jordan. I need to be the mental equivalent of the thing that I wish to maintain. So if your desire to be the mental equivalent of a millionaire is costing you energy, then you don't really want to be a millionaire. You got the wrong goal, homie. That means that you're not designed. God knows that if he gave you $1 million, it will cost you your life. You're going to lose your mind. You go out and do drugs. You're going to overdose, and we'll be reading about you in the paper or see you on the news. So the universe is not going to send anything into your life that violates his design for your life. Let me say that again. The universe is not going to send anything into your life that's going to violate the design for your life. Let me say that again. I don't know. Somebody needs to write that down. The universe is not going to send anything into your life that's going to violate the universe's design for your life. Let me say that again. You still didn't get it. The universe is not going to send anything or anybody into your life that's going to violate the universe's design for your life. Now, you can do it. You can order it, but that's going to take effort. It's going to take energy. You know how hard it took you to get and keep what you got in you? How much are you working? How hard? How much energy does it take for you to keep that relationship afloat? How much energy does it take for you to keep that job? How much energy does it take for you to maintain that your quote-unquote state of health? How much energy does that take? How much studying? How much time do you spend maintaining your wisdom? How much time did I spend studying before I did today's show? About 5 minutes, not even that. As I was driving, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do a show at 12. Because I didn't do a show yesterday. I know I wanted to do a show today because I know I don't do this when I'm bored. I do this because I love doing it. So I knew I wanted to do a show today. So how much would I study? Zero. I just made up a title. And I took the title, and now I'm doing a show. So how much energy? Zero. See, spiritual effectiveness doesn't cost. In fact, it gives. So most people I know, they are engaged in activities that cost them money, cost them time, and cost them energy. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to pay it for it, but you don't pay for it with your spirit. Now, remember, the spirit is the animating principle of the body. So I don't give my spirit. Now, remember, the devil, he wants to possess your soul. So in exchange for money, fame, he wants your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. Now, he pays really good. He just requires a lot. Now, God pays really good, too. He don't require nothing. Now, some people tell me, well, no, Brother Will, that's not true. God requires your time, brother. I remember the Reverend Dr. Bishop, they told me that, too, and went to church and said, hey, man, God wants to use you, brother. Really? Yes. He wants to. God has called you to the parking lot ministry, brother. Get? Brother, God has called you to be an usher, stand at the door. Really? He can tell me that. He spoke through me, brother. God wants you to be in the nursery. No. I see, but God, brother, God got plans for you. He wants you to be part of our evangelistic team. Go out and will win souls for Jesus. Praise Jesus, brother. God, I got all these plans. He didn't tell me, but he told everybody else, obviously, but he didn't. I guess he just forgot to tell me. But I believed him. So for 10, 12 years, I worked like a Hebrew slave. 3 to 5 days a week, homie. I don't even know if y'all understand. I can't even talk about it because I don't want to get pissed off. I ain't going to talk about the amount of money. I don't want to talk about it because, again, I don't want to get pissed off. But amazing that he told everybody else, but he just forgot to tell me. Now, I listen to God, homie. I don't listen to other people. didn't cost me a dime. I get energy. I don't put none in. That's how the big G works. Because the big G, the word agaka means generator. The word generator means petar in English. I mean in Greek. Petar in English means father in English. It means the sender of a signal. The signal is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. That means there's something that is sending that 24/7, 365. It is a sender, brother. It is a sender, sister. Didn't say it was a receiver. Let me say that again. It is a sender. Now, people tell me, well, brother, you got to send. Our God requires this. Well, the one that I serve doesn't. The one that you serve, he probably requires you to do certain things, like tithes and offering, like this, that, or the other. That's good. You do you, boo-boo. But when you're done, when you're finished, you might want to connect with the big G. See, the big one already owns you. He ain't going to ask you for something he already got. Like, see, it's interesting. I never beg or talk to nobody about what I want to get in my car and drive. Because the title is in my name, homie. I don't ask. Not, when all my kids was on 18, I never asked them, hey, you think it's okay, brother? Kendrick, could you go in there, wash the dishes, please? No, that's not how it ran in my house. It was like, Negro, you know it's your day to do the dishes. You got about, your time has already passed. And then that was a shoe flying across the room. See, you don't ask, but at least I don't. I don't ask for permission from nobody for the things that I own, created, made, have. So all of my books, I don't ask nobody. I do not consult anybody to publish my books. I'm a co-creator with the creator. So you mean to tell me God requires or he want to ask or beg or he need you. Without you, he can't do nothing. That's what I heard. I heard some people say that, hey, brother, God is waiting on you, brother. You holding up the universe. And you might have the wrong God. Now, let me make sure you understand, brother, because this is really important. Because when you get to the higher levels, now maybe on a lower level, all that stuff may be true. But on a higher level, everything is one. On a higher level, there's only one God. There is no division. James 3 says that there is no variance. I like that word, variance. It says that in him, there is no shifting. None. It says, in him there is no darkness. Now, that's very, very important because there could be other things in other entities. Because, see, God is light. In him there is no darkness, according to 1 John 1:5. So, in 1 John 1:5, it says that, you know, something totally different from what I hear from a lot of different people. It says that God is light. That also says God is love. So you are so busy living your life that you cannot be God's light. God is light. Now, the Bible says that God is in us. It says that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The kingdom of God is the kingdom, the king's dominion. The kingdom of God is within. So God is light. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ, God in you. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So somebody got a lot of you to make you think that there's darkness in order for you to be darkness. Because really, there is no darkness. Because remember, the darkness is the absence of light. And so if you got light in you, how can you have darkness in you too? You can't have light and darkness at the same time. So there is a conundrum. Because in him, there is no variance or no variableness. Now, James chapter 1 says something that's very profound. When we're talking about understanding still, because if it's still, it's real. So everything that's not still is not real. That means that everything on this earth, nothing on earth is still. Nothing. Nothing. Not even you. So nothing on earth is still, according to physics, according to science, everything on earth vibrates. So according to the Heliobiblius, that means it can't be God. So let me make sure you understand your conundrum. Because it says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, let's go back to verse 16, because I need to make sure you wrap around your brain around this, which is why I'm doing every show that I'm doing in 2018 is a show that you, your mama, your daddy, your grandmother, all your Sheerans, old and young Sheerans, as they say back in my brothers and sisters, we call each other Sheerans. we just totally removed the B. It's like when you go to them old churches and they're talking about water. I didn't know that there's no D in water. There's a D. It's called water, where we from. So all y'all Sheerans, y'all are going to pay attention to James 1:6. Y'all listening up? So James 1:16, James chapter 1, verse 16 says, Do not be deceived. Okay, somebody deceived. Okay, who's deceived? Because James chapter 1, verse 16 starts off, says, hold up, don't be this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. For every good and perfect gift is from above. So you got a good and you got a perfect gift and it didn't come from above, you are deceived. Not you, but, you know, people that you might know. Because James chapter 1, verse 17 says every. It didn't say one out of nine or nine out of ten. It said every. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there is no change or shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Now, when we start on Monday, we're going to break this down a little deeper. But for today, I need you to understand this. And if you can wrap your brain around this, again, this will be a light bulb moment for you, and you will have a aha moment. And you will walk away with curled toes today. Y'all ready to get y'all toes curled? So James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good, perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, with whom there is no change or shifting shadow. Now, the New Living Translation says this, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So there is no variation or shadow due to his changing. In other words, the light is constant. In other words, the giving, the sending is constant. It doesn't be like our sun. You know, we got 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of darkness. Well, the big G, yeah, he 24/7, 365. He's like 7-Eleven. He's always open. Now, I know, you know, you got a God that hunts sometimes, and he hunts if you pay tithes, or he hunts if you don't show up, he stops hunting. But if you do show up on Sunday, he hunts for you. Or, you know, I've been there too. I used to have that God too. You know, I used to have a hoop jumping God, where if I jumped through hoops, then I was approved. If I didn't jump through the hoop, then I was disapproved. I know. I used to have that God too. Now, I traded him in for a bigger one, a better one, the real one. Now, the real one says that there ain't no changes. Now, you can change, but he doesn't. Let me say it again. So every problem that you got is in your own head. Notice it started off in James 1, don't be deceived. You deceiving yourself. So you say that you want blank. That's deception, because you already have blank. But the Bible says that God has given us, past tense, everything. Brother Will, you understand. He gave me everything except, you know, divine health. He gave me everything except wealth, Brother Will. He gave me everything except wisdom. Well, that's the wrong G. You got to go to the big one, which is why I recommend that you go and hang out with me, because I hang out with the big G. So in the big G, it says that there is no variations. Now, I ain't the brightest bulb in the shack. Y'all guys know, you know, I'm a little short of a full picnic. So I got to look shit this up. I don't know what variation means. Y'all know what it means? I don't know what it means. It could mean green lizards. I don't know. So, you know, I like to look up stuff. So I went to dictionary.com. I looked at the word variation. So whatever this is, again, according to the original text, the big G doesn't have this. So the word variation is this process or condition. It is a particular transformation or rate. It is a magnetic variation. The word variation is the word to variate. So he says that there is no variate or variant. And this word variate or variant, it means to vary, V-A-R-Y. And we talk about vary or vary or variance, V-A-R-Y, which is the root word for variation, variant, variance. It means to change or to alter in form or appearance or character. It means to change or alter form, appearance, or character. It means to change or alter form, appearance, or character. Now, the big G, he don't have no change in his form, his appearance, or his character. Let me say it again. The word V-A-R-Y comes from the word various. This is very important. Because see, it means in the original text, when you break it all the way down, it has to do with bent, crooked. Now, we know everything on this earth is based upon sacred geometry, which is bent and crooked lines. We know that we are bent or fallen angels. We are bent. That's what we call hue, which means color, which means bent light. But in him, there is no bending of the light. Now, for the average Joe, probably doesn't curl your toes. But for me, because I understand physics, that is a cookie blower. That's a game changer. So the big G isn't a benevolent one. He's not an archon, because an archon is something that is bent. He cannot be a hue, because hue is the result of color. Color is the result of it. It cannot be set geometry. It cannot be nothing on this earth. As I've been saying for 25 years, the big G does not exist on earth. It's impossible, because he said that he don't, all of this earth stuff that we got going, first of all, vibration says be still and know that I am God. Everything on earth, according to science, vibrates. In order for it to be visible to the human eye, in order for it to materialize in the material realm, it has to vibrate. And now, everything in the spiritual realm doesn't vibrate. So your job is to return back to the non-vibratory state. You have that preached anywhere, brother? I don't think so. So my goal is to make sure that we all return back to a non-vibratory state. I'm not talking about no monkism, because it means to undergo change, alteration, or modification. So then we have to return back to my modified, altered, or changed state. Because everybody I know, they have undergone some type of a change, some type of a alteration, or some type of a modification. It says in Daniel 3 that the big G does not undergo any type of a change, any type of a alteration, or any type of a modification. The big one, not the little one. The little one is the God of change, modification, and alteration. The big one is the God of non-change, non-alteration, non-modification. He says that there is no change in him. And because there's no change, that means that there is no shadow, no shifting shadow, no turning shadow, no shadow that comes from bending light. The big thing is not a bent light being, contrary to popular belief. So I like to hang out with the big G, because the big G is totally different from everybody else, because the big G does not vibrate. See, the only way that you can know the big G is that you got to do what it says in the book of Psalms. You got to be still. Now, let's wrap all of this up. So you said, Brother Will, you know, you talked about being ineffective, brother, you know, restless spirit. You know, you talked about the fact that the reason that we have this restless spirit because we have no confidence. We have no confidence because we don't have no clarity. We got no clarity because we don't have the details of our destiny, our service, our mission, all of the attributes and characteristics. I know a lot of people who know all of the characteristics of their dear community part, brother, and them because they still ain't got no purpose. They still ain't got no dunamis power. They still ain't got no clarity. So you can know all of the characteristics of God and still don't have God. Absolutely. So, brother, how do we get in contact with God? Like the big one, not the fake one. Well, it says to be still. And when you be still, something happens. So the only way, according to Psalms 46, verse 10, that you cannot oscillate and vibrate in this space where your brain is not affected by outside activity. I walk up to you. I'm a test because you know God. You know your brother Will. I know God, brother. You know your purpose. Yes, brother Will. I know my purpose. I'm fulfilling my purpose right now. Okay. I'm gonna call you. And I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna talk about your mama and your daddy and little Johnny, whom you love, or you love your little Sheerans. And you're gonna do this. You're gonna have an emotional response. It's called a reaction, which means returning to your original act. That means ego. Now, Psalms 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. So let's break this down as we close. So the first thing that everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice got to do is you have to be still. Now, what does that mean when we talk about being still? Well, the best thing to do, as you guys know, that I like to do is look it up in the original text. So when I look this up in the original text.
Psalms 8, 7503, Rapha,
Rapha. Rapha. So the word Rapha means to sink. It means to relax. It means to be disheartened. Now, I was like, man, disheartened. Because, you know, where your heart is, there is your treasure. So disheartened means to dis, to remove shiftness that's inside of your heart. It means to let go. It means to let drop. It means to abandon. It means to reframe. It means to forsake. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. But let me say this again. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, spiritual effectiveness is the goal. Stillness is realness. If you are still, then you are real. You can't be real if you're not still. And you're not still because you don't have clarity, crystal clear clarity. That means inside of my book, Diligence, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich, very short read. I break down that word in the original text. Diligence. And I'm on page 49 inside of the book. In fact, let's go back because this is very important. According to Strong Concordance, exhaustive concordance, the word diligence means in the King James book of the Bible. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about this. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, it talks about this. The reason that you can't be still is because of this. The reason the devil got you running around like a chicken with his head cut off is because of this. So diligence is the ability to make a decision, to change the way you think, and to make a decision to stop being self-centered and start being Christ-centered. According to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the word diligence means a sharp, pointed, strict decision to be, to cut, to sharpen one's resolve, to decide, to decree, to determine, to maim, to move, or to be decisive, to mutilate opposition. Diligence is a well-defined, sharp, pertinent act of making up one's mind, a definite decision to affect a person or to penetrate with a sharp edge, to settle or to determine a question. To settle or to determine a question, to choose an edict. An edict means to decree or to make a proclamation issued by an authority. The proclamation is the statement that you make declaring your allegiance to your purpose and your mutilation of every other option. It's the ability to burn every bridge except purpose. Stillness is realness. Stillness means I know me so well, all of the other versions of me, I'm killing. My alter ego, all this other bullshit that I've been doing, getting rid of it. Now, let me break this down for you so that way you can understand. Stillness is the only thing that's real. Now, in the original text, in the Hebrew, Strong Carter 7503, that means that you have to abandon. Now, the Bible says, any man who wishes to lose, abandon, his life will find it. That's what you got to do. So you got to dream. You got to go. You are living your life. That's what you need to abandon in order you can, so that way you can be God's light. You have to abandon your dreams. You drop them like a hot potato. Now, can you do that? Yeah. Well, Brother Will, what had happened was the way my savings account is set up, I overstand, brothers. Trust me, I overstand. You either tell me I got to let go of little Johnny, little Susie, my baby. You know what I'm saying? Brother Will, my baby. Yep. Got to let them, they got to go. What does that mean? That means all of the concerns that you have, you got to let that go. It means to refrain. It means to relax. So anything that does not allow you to relax, you let go. Heavenly Father, bless the minds of your people. Anything that does not allow you to relax, you let go. Heavenly Father, bless the minds of your people. Anything, anyone, ladies, that does not allow you to relax, you let go. Let me say it again. I don't think y'all hear me. Anything, anyone that does not allow you who are concerned because, okay, let that go. Anything or anyone that does not allow you to relax. Hasta la vista, baby. Mentally, I'm not telling you to move out. I'm not telling you to get married, to get divorced. I'm not telling you to tell little Johnny, hey, little Johnny, you got to go. All you got to do is make a mental decision. The universe takes care of the rest by itself. You got to do nothing, no thing, nothing. All you do is make your set your intent. The universe responds to a made-up intention. Period. Anything or anyone that does not allow you to react, to relax, you got to let go. That, my brothers and sisters, is stillness. Stillness is simply the ability to not allow anything to come between you and your God-given destiny, the purpose, place, position. Anything or anyone that does not allow you to relax. Because, again, it disturbs your peace. Now, you still claim that you may have peace, you may have joy. Not the peace or the joy that the world gives, but the peace that only comes from God. So this ability, again, to show oneself relaxed, it means slacken. It actually means to be slack. It means to stay, to be still. It means to be slack. It means to be slowful. It means to be sluggard. Now, those are three, you know, slack, slowful, sluggard. Again, rich young ruler that I have in my book, The Ultimate Secret of Being Rich. But when it comes to things that gets in between you and your destiny, you should be slack towards it. You should be slowful towards it. You should be a sluggard towards it. That means you should forsake or abandon it. That is stillness. It says to be that slack towards anything that causes you to have an emotional response. In other words, there should be no emotional response to anything. Because if you have no emotional response, it says be slack, be slowful, and be sluggard, then you will do this. If you can be slack, if you can be a slowful, and if you can be a sluggard toward the pride of this life, the cares of this world, and lust of the flesh. If you can show no emotional response, then
Psalms H 3045. Yada. Yada.
Then you can be Yada. You can be Yoda. You can be Yoda. It's Y-A-D-O instead of Y-O. Yada. Yada means to learn. It means to perceive. It means to see. It means to find out. It means to discern. It means to discriminate. It means to distinguish. It means to know by experience. It means to recognize. It means to admit. It means to consider. It means to know, my brothers. It means to be skillful. It means to be wise. It means to be oneself. See, the only reason that you can't be you is because you be fake. You got to let go. You got to let go of the fake you. Then you can be still. Brothers and sisters, stillness is realness. There's a lot of stuff that we are being, but we're not being real. When you start being real, you will start being still. When you start being still, you will start being real. Your job is to let go of everything that you are concerned about. Because why? You can't be still and concerned. Concern is vibration. Non-concern is a non-vibratory state. When you're concerned about something, that means you're worrying. The Bible says, why do that? That's what it says. It says, why worry? Then it tells you what you should, why worrying about. Why worry? Why worry about what you should drink, what you should eat? So I'm going to ask you, why you worry? Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink? The Bible tells us, don't do that. But yet we all do. There's a plethora of scriptures that talks about worrying about money, clothes, food, people, because why? That causes you to vibrate. Fear, doubt, and unbelief causes you to vibrate. Faith, hope, and love causes you not to vibrate. The greatest non-vibratory state is a state of love. That, my brothers and sisters, is the goal. To operate and vibrate in a non-vibratory state of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love. That is the only way for you to yada. That is the only way for you to make oneself or to reveal oneself, to have discernment, to have instruction, to have perception, to have knowledge, to have all of these. If you don't become a true superhero, let go. Let God. Well, my brothers and my sisters, thank you guys so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Lord, this is the part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.